views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience inspiration, creativity, and knowledge. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to discover the greatest version of yourself. You can find out much more at thelucidplanet.com and listen to all of my show archives at lucidplanetradio.com. And I'm very excited to announce that for 2016, the show is going to be expanding to over 200 AM, FM, digital, and cable stations. Oh my goodness. What this means is there's going to be some amazing new sponsorship and partnership opportunities for individuals, brands, companies, anybody who shares kind of the same interests of the show and wants to get involved, I would love to connect with you to draft kind of a mutually beneficial win-win sponsorship agreement. And if you want to hear more about that, you can email me personally at drkellyneff@gmail.com. Just my name, no dots or dashes, drkellyneff@gmail.com. So today we are talking about some of the most exciting and progressive and revolutionary changes that are happening in America today, which is the legalization of cannabis. No matter your political affiliation, your religious affiliation, or where you live, it's pretty hard to deny that cannabis is literally taking America by storm. Just for a little bit of background, over half of all Americans now live in states where cannabis is legal for medical and recreational purposes. And the statistics show that cannabis is going to surpass alcohol as America's substance of choice, possibly within the next 5 to 10 years. If you guys don't know, I am, of course, broadcasting Lucid Planet Radio myself out of Denver, Colorado, where cannabis has been unbelievably beneficial to society, to individuals, to the local government. It was just announced last week that there was an additional and unexpected $66 million in state taxes that is extra. And instead of voting to give that money back to the people, which would have been, I think, like $8 or $10 a person, the people of Colorado decided to give that money back to the schools and the local communities. And it's going into anti-bullying programs, building new schools, farming initiatives, getting kids involved in that. It's really amazing. So if I'm biased, that's fine. But I'm just letting you know, from my take as a psychologist and as someone who's living in Colorado where this is all happening, it really does seem like cannabis legalization is having a very positive impact on people and on society. And yet we live with this background of the drug war still happening and cannabis still being Schedule One. So what does cannabis look like in your state? Where are we heading in the future? And perhaps most interestingly, what does the research tell us about the medical and therapeutic efficacy of cannabis, its addiction potentiality, and how it's affecting people's health? So lots to talk about. And to answer all of these questions and more, I am really excited to welcome Paul Armentano onto the show. A lot of people want to talk about cannabis and a lot of people have opinions, but this is somebody who is really an expert in the field. And I'm so grateful to have him on. Paul is the deputy director of NORML, which you've probably heard of, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. He is also the co-author of the book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink?, which has been licensed and translated internationally. He is the 2013 Freedom Law School Health Freedom Champion of the Year and the 2013 Alfred R. Linsmith Award recipient in the achievement of the field of scholarship. And his latest book, The Citizen's Guide to State-by-State Marijuana Laws, was published in October of 2015. So if you have questions about the science or efficacy of cannabis or the status of cannabis in your state or anything at all, you can write into the show. You can write me at drkellyneff@gmail.com. You can tweet me at The Lucid Planet. You can Facebook me at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And you can also call into the studio for the next 55 minutes at 1-800-930-2819 and get on the air and talk to me and Paul. So let me know again, that's 1-800-930-2819. So with all that being said, let's get down to it, all things cannabis, and let's welcome Paul Armentano to the show. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you for having me, Kelly.
Thank you so much for being here. We are living in some pretty exciting times, huh?
You know, these are unprecedented times when it comes to the public's opinion in regard to cannabis law reform. There is a tendency to believe that the public's fascination with cannabis really peaked in the 1970s, but that's actually not the case at all. We actually see much greater public support for legalizing marijuana today than at any time in our nation's history. This is actually the majority position now of Americans.
What do the recent polls say? What percentage of Americans favor the legalization of cannabis or marijuana?
It depends how the question is asked, but generally we see three questions asked of the American public. One, do they support the ability of a doctor to authorize cannabis therapy to a qualified patient? And we see that anywhere between about 85% to 90% of the public nationally say yes,
wow.
Doctors ought to have the ability to recommend marijuana for a patient. Again, incredible, overwhelming consensus of support. When the public is asked the question of should states have the sole authority to set their own marijuana policy, should the federal government simply butt out of this issue, we see anywhere between about 65 to 70% of the public. Again, consensus among those of all political ideologies. Say whether they think marijuana ought to be legal or not, at a minimum, it ought to be up for the states to decide this issue. And then the third question we see asked is, do the American public simply think that marijuana ought to be legal for recreational purposes? And according to the most recent Gallup data, who have been tracking public opinion on this issue since 1969, 58% of Americans, including a solid majority of all age groups age 65 and under, say that marijuana ought to be legal regardless of the reason why one wants to use it.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And it's funny how I'm sure you've been with Normal for a while, and you've been probably following this for a long time. How have you personally kind of experienced the changes that have evolved? And what is it like to be part of something like this?
It's really amazing to see the narrative unfold and to see the rapid changes in public opinion.
Yeah.
Now, on one level, I'm not that surprised, because even though marijuana prohibition has existed on the federal level going back to 1937, and even though marijuana has been a Schedule I prohibited substance going back to 1970, and we have this bureaucracy entrenched around this position, there really has never existed any scientific basis or evidence base for this policy. So like a house of cards, there's really no foundation to support this gargantuan, archaic, very troubling public policy. And as this policy begins to unravel, we see that it's losing public support incredibly rapidly. It's like removing a card from a house of cards, and then it all collapses upon its own weight because there was nothing holding it up in the first place.
And if anything, you know, we as Americans, we don't like being lied to. And once we find out that we've been lied to, particularly about a plant that has all of these unbelievable healing potentialities, which we'll talk more about after the break. But you know, we don't like being lied to. We've been lied to about a plant. We're now finding out that we've been lied to, and that actually this plant is incredibly beneficial. Wouldn't you agree that it almost discredits the federal government if they continue to persist with the Schedule I classification?
Well, most Americans' firsthand experience with cannabis is entirely contradictory to not only the federal policy, but what proponents of that policy have claimed now for decades are the experiences one would expect if they engage in cannabis use. So yeah, only for so long can you have a critical mass where a majority of the public understands that they are being lied to before that critical mass moves to change the policy and comport that public policy with the reality of the day.
Yep. And, you know, we're seeing, like you mentioned, that poll very briefly before we take a break, that, you know, 65 to 75% of Americans want the federal government out of it, and they want the states to decide. And that's really what we're seeing, isn't it? We're seeing states actually deciding.
We are. The public clearly has more faith in either their ability of the electorate's ability to decide rational marijuana policy or their state elected officials to decide rational marijuana policy. And they have zero faith that the federal government can oversee any sort of irrational policy, by and large because of the federal government's recalcitrance to even revisit marijuana Schedule I status, a classification that argues that marijuana's harms are similar to those of heroin and that the plant has no medical efficacy whatsoever. The public realizes that just is not so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to return after the break to talk so much more about what this efficacy is and how this research is being carried out and what it's telling us about cannabis. So this is Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I'm here with Paul Armentano, the Deputy Director of NORML, and we will be right back after this short break.
Then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better...
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Has asthma or allergies got you singing the raspy blues? Allergy and Asthma Networks is the nation's premier nonprofit patient-centered network of doctors, caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals who are dedicated to ending death and suffering due to asthma, allergies, and related conditions. Join President and CEO Tanya Winders each month on the Dr. Pat Show to learn more and visit AllergyAsthmaNetwork.org today. Breathe better together with Allergy and Asthma Network.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing.
1230 WBM.
What are vibes? We often use this word, but did you know vibes can actually be useful and help solve our everyday challenges? Embark on an exciting learning journey with Caitlin Keat, 11-time Visionary Award winner, specialist in vibrational energy, and the creator of Vibes Up. Join Caitlin as she takes you through the world of vibrational therapy and energy healing with natural solutions for a modern world. Visit vibesup.com to learn more today.
1230 WBLQ.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in. And if you do not want to see me again, I would understand.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Paul Armentano, the Deputy Director of NORML. Before we continue, Paul, I want to make sure everybody knows how to contact you and your organization. Can you tell them where they can find out more about your writing, about NORML, about how to get involved?
Sure. Folks that want to visit NORML's webpage can go to www.norml.org. I would encourage them to visit our blog, which is updated almost daily. That's where I tend to highlight and summarize the most recent science that is published on this issue, and we also talk about the constantly changing laws and policies surrounding cannabis. And folks can reach me at paul@normal.org.
Perfect. Thank you, Paul. And for those of you listening who haven't seen this part of the NORML website that Paul has been maintaining, it's the recent research on medical marijuana. And if you just type that in, NORML, N-O-R-M-L, and recent research on medical marijuana, it pops right up. And this page has everything you could possibly want to know about what this research is for literally a plethora of different medical conditions. There's like at least 20 conditions on here that have been researched, from rheumatoid arthritis to HIV to hepatitis to ALS to just chronic pain, and also a lot of explanation about how and why cannabis works. So more than we can cover in today's interview, I think. But you guys should definitely check out this amazing resource on the website.
Yeah, so that's actually in a section. If people just go to normal.org/library, they'll be able to click to that section as well. We also print that material in about a 100-page publication, so people can obtain hard copies of it if they wish. But to me, what's most valuable about that resource, which, as you said, reviews about 250 clinical and preclinical trials assessing the safety and efficacy of cannabis, is that we provide embedded links to the source material of every single one of those studies. So you don't have to just take our word or our interpretation for what the science says. People have the ability to read those studies for themselves, draw their own conclusions, share that material with their physician. I really do think it's a tremendous resource for anyone who really cares about what the scientific evidence in this realm is.
Thank you. And you're absolutely right. And Paul, you know, you bring up the fact that there are over 250 clinical and preclinical studies. And yet there seems to be this rhetoric that there's no research on marijuana. But clearly there is. So what gives with that?
There's a very interesting narrative, because we actually hear both opponents and proponents oftentimes sharing this notion that we just don't know enough about cannabis to bring about a change in public policy, that we just need more science, that we just need more research. And that overlooks two facts. One, it overlooks the fact that Western civilizations have been using cannabis for spiritual purposes, for social purposes, for therapeutic purposes, literally for thousands of years, providing us with a very unique insight into the potential long-term safety and efficacy of this substance. And two, it ignores the fact that cannabis and its active constituents are some of the most studied therapeutic components of modern times. If one goes to PubMed, the repository for all peer-reviewed scientific research, and types in the word marijuana, you will get over 22,500 citations to specific peer-reviewed scientific papers specific to the cannabis plant, about half of which have been published just in the last 10 to 15 years. As an exercise, if one wants to start typing in the names of other commonly used therapeutic substances like Tylenol or ibuprofen or Ritalin or Adderall, you will not get the same volume of papers associated with the study or the research into these other very common therapeutic agents as we see with cannabis. We can say with certainty that cannabis possesses adequate safety and efficacy to be used as a legal option because cannabis has been subject to more scientific study and has been used longer than the overwhelming majority of substances it could replace.
It's such a great point, and I'm glad you brought up Advil and Tylenol because people actually die from ibuprofen and acetaminophen, but it's very hard to find evidence of cannabis killing someone, except for when I read a study that a huge ton of it fell on someone and it killed them. But other than that, I haven't actually really been able to find evidence that cannabis is as harmful as, you know, the reefer madness kind of rhetoric would have us suggest.
Well, it's really interesting. There's three objective criteria that are generally used to determine the safety profile of a psychotropic substance. That's the risk of dependency, the risk of lethal overdose, and the risk of toxicity. And those are the standards we typically, or the FDA would typically measure some new drug coming to market to try and determine its safety. And when we judge cannabis by those objective metrics, we see that it is not as safe as conventional therapeutic substances. It is, in fact, safer than those substances because it has comparatively low dependence liability, it has no possibility of lethal overdose, and it has a very few, if any, toxicity issues associated with it.
Yeah, it's really quite fascinating. And something else that's always, I just find so interesting is that the endocannabinoid system and the fact that we actually have receptors for the components of cannabis or marijuana built into our body. And I believe, or at least I've read, because I have a mild form of Crohn's disease, and I've read that when the body is inflamed, it actually, even in your intestines, will create more cannabinoid receptors because your body knows that this is something that's going to calm down the inflammation. Am I right about that?
So the endogenous cannabinoid receptor system is significant, not just because it exists. We knew that there had to be a receptor system or cannabinoids would not have any sort of therapeutic or mood-altering or physiological effect whatsoever. It's not so much we have this system. It's that this system has evolved to the point where it is now a regulatory system. We as human beings have more of these receptors than we have opiate receptors or GABA receptors. This is the densest receptor system that's been identified in living organisms. And the purpose of this system is to maintain physiological homeostasis. It's to keep our body in a state of physiological balance. So that's why we see this biphasic effect with this system and the production of endogenous cannabinoids. This system will respond to the environment, and it will constantly be trying to find balance and maintain homeostasis, essentially maintain good health.
So what you're saying in a nutshell is that cannabis is actually a healthy part of our diet or our lifestyle.
What is interesting is that we know throughout our lifespan, our body is producing compounds to interact with this system. And at some times in our lives, our body produces more. At other times in our lives, our body produces less. But what is unique about the cannabis plant or the components of the cannabis plant is that they are the only external compounds that we are aware of or that have been identified thus far that so closely in structure mimic the compounds our body produces naturally that those external compounds will show an affinity and interact with this regulatory system. And that's why we see this wide range of both symptomatic effects associated with the use of cannabis, but also potential disease modification associated with cannabis, because cannabinoids are supplementing this innate system that we have in our bodies that is trying to regulate our physiological health. It's a very unique paradigm that we're talking about here that really only began to be understood in the late 1980s and early 1990s. And again, now we're at sort of this unprecedented time in history where scientists are beginning to unlock the functions of this system and target it appropriately.
Wow. you know, I can't wait to talk more about this after the break. We're really sitting on something. This is something that's so huge and really has the potential and has already affected so many people's lives in a healing way. So when we come back, we're going to talk a lot more about the science and efficacy of cannabis and the ways to ingest it, the different types of issues and disease modifications that it can help with. And then we're going to talk about the future and what the future has in store. So I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio. Stay tuned, and I will be right back with Normal Deputy Director Paul Armentano.
Show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet, welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Into Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. you will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Are you ever consumed with the idea that something needs to change? You hear Oprah and other inspiring people talk about living your authentic life, and yet it's much easier said than done. Duda, the kick-ass muse, has crafted a world-renowned coaching platform that will help you get clarity on the issues you face, take bold risks, get back your confidence, and brave your fears. To learn more and work with Duda today, visit kickassmuse.com.
Let the transition begin. Tune in to the hit show, Majestic Insights Radio, Success for Life's Transitions, with host Carrie Keith. Carrie is a gifted intuitive coach, healer, and teacher who will lead you through her empowering techniques of ancient wisdom and awareness so you can live your happiest, healthiest, and most vibrant life. Let Carrie teach you the tools of transformation that will help you experience success for all of life's transitions. To learn more about Carrie, visit www.majesticinsights.com.
1230 WBLQ.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and I have Paul Armentano here talking about cannabis legalization, research, and policy reform in the U.S. Before we continue, I just want to remind our listeners that on Lucid Planet Radio, there are some really great sponsorship and partnership opportunities that are now happening. Would you like to come on the show, or do you have a product that our conscious-based listeners would love? We have big plans to expand the show to over 200 AM, FM, digital, and cable channels in 2016, and I would love to help promote your conscious business and meet all of our needs. So if you would like to work together with me to create a mutually beneficial sponsorship package, please email me at drkellyneff@gmail.com. Again, it's just my name, no dots or dashes, Dr. Kelly Neff, KellyNeff@gmail.com. So now we're going to return to talking about the science and efficacy of cannabis. And Paul here is really one of the most eloquent people I've ever heard speak about this. So thank you, Paul. We were, you know, talking during the break at how, you know, everyone now thinks they're like an expert, particularly in Colorado. And I guess my question for you is, you know, there's THC, there's CBD, there's all these cannabinoids. Which ones are the most beneficial? How do they work together? And what is the best method for ingesting them to receive the maximum therapeutic benefits according to the research?
So that's a great question, because the Western medicine paradigm says that if we identify something that is therapeutic, we try to isolate that single molecule and then bring it to market to treat a particular system. And typically the way these single molecule drugs work is they act locally on the body. They target a specific receptor system. Like, for instance, opioids target the opiate receptor, which is located in the brainstem. Cannabis takes a much more holistic approach. Cannabis is a botanical agent, and it is an agent that contains in excess of 100 unique cannabinoids. These are unique biologically active constituents that are in this plant that possess an affinity to the cannabinoid receptors in our body. And as I mentioned earlier, the receptors for cannabinoids are not localized. They're located all throughout the body. They're in our skin. They're in our gastrointestinal tract. They're located in various parts of the brain. So this is a very different model of medicine. Rather than taking a single molecule and having it act locally on the body for a particular or a singular purpose, we're talking about a botanical agent made up of, consisting of multiple therapeutic and physiological active substances that are acting holistically on the body, and we not surprisingly tend to see the greatest efficacy of cannabis when all of these different constituents are administered in combination with one another, a phenomenon known as the entourage effect, which says that the sum of the parts of this plant are more effective than the isolated components. And I think that's a really important message for many of your listeners to understand, particularly as we see a trend in some states like New York and Minnesota to try and get away from the use of herbal cannabis and focus on single cannabinoid component extracts, which I don't think are as evidence-based a solution as herbal plant cannabis remedies.
So what you're talking about, I think, is, you know, the CBD focus and how even certain states have passed laws saying, well, high CBD strains are allowed for medical purposes. We've all seen the documentaries of children with epilepsy who are pretty miraculously healed after only a couple administrations of a CBD-rich strain. But what I think you're saying is that this is kind of missing the bigger picture here, which is that we really can benefit from all the components together.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. And while I understand there is recent focus on cannabidiol, again, when one looks at the totality of the existing evidence, we see that there is far greater evidence available to date focusing on the efficacy and safety of herbal cannabis as a whole than there is focusing on the singular cannabinoid CBD, which I will mention it's not as if this has been recently discovered. Cannabidiol was actually isolated in 1940. So for decades, wow, Scientists were aware that this constituent existed, but paid very little interest to it because of the politicization of the cannabis plant. THC was identified in 1964, decades after cannabidiol had been identified. But again, scientists paid very little interest in it at the time.
So do you think that the best way, let me ask you, what is the best way to deliver this entourage of cannabinoids to the body?
Well, some of this depends on the motivation for a person to use cannabis. If somebody is seeking the rapid onset of relief, then clearly some form of inhalation is necessary because that allows the person to experience the effects of cannabinoids very quickly. And it also allows them a greater ability to self-regulate their dosage. And if we're talking about inhalation, really vaporization would appear to be the method that makes the most sense. Vaporization eliminates much of the adverse side effects associated with the creation of combustive smoke. And most importantly, it appears to be the most efficient delivery device. And what I mean by that is when we look at clinical trials where individuals are consuming cannabinoids via different methods, and we look at the levels of cannabinoids in the blood of those individuals after they've recently consumed cannabis, we find the highest levels of cannabinoids associated with subjects that have vaporized cannabis. So essentially, this gives the patient the most bang for their buck. Now, we also know that inhalation is associated with a fairly narrow therapeutic window of perhaps 1 to 2 to maybe 3 hours, whereas we know that the oral ingestion of cannabinoids is associated with a much longer therapeutic window. However, the potential downsides of oral administration are delayed onset and increased bioavailability. We see a tremendous variability of effect in the way the body metabolizes cannabinoids associated with oral administration, which makes it an ineffective delivery device for many individuals and many individuals that are looking for consistency of effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one thing I was going to ask you about that I've experienced in my life, and I've talked to a lot of people who have had the same thing where they'll eat, they'll consume, or they'll ingest the same strain on a different day, and they feel completely different.
Yes, and that's because the body has metabolized the cannabinoids in a different manner from day to day. What's very interesting, and another thing occurs too, is that when THC is taken orally, the liver metabolizes THC and turns much of it into a byproduct known as 11-hydroxy-THC. Which is like THC, but it is somewhat more psychoactive, and people then begin to feel the combined effect of both THC and 11-hydroxy-THC, and for many individuals, they report that that makes them feel dysphoric. When people inhale cannabis, there's much less THC to 11-hydroxy-THC conversion, and again, there's much more consistency of effect because THC and other cannabinoids go from the lungs almost immediately into the bloodstream, and then they begin interacting with the endogenous cannabinoid regulatory system, whereas when one orally consumes cannabis, it goes through the stomach, it's then metabolized by the liver, there's first-pass syndrome, and again, there's much greater bioavailability.
Gotcha. So really, what we're saying is that it depends on kind of what we're looking to do and how we're looking to do it. But vaporization, it sounds like, is going to be the most rapid and consistent way to ingest cannabis. And,
yeah, and particularly,
wow,
we're talking about symptomatic relief.
Paul, we're going to go into the break right now. But when we come back, we will talk more about this and a lot more about the substances that cannabis can replace, like opioids. Stay tuned. This is Dr. Kelly, and we will be right back on Lucid Planet Radio with Paul Armentano.
Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony, side by side on my piano keyboard. Oh Lord, why don't we?
Awaken to your radiant, authentic self. For over 15 years, Soul Purpose Advocate Nancy Monson has been focused on leading change in the lives of those looking to live their true purpose. She is devoted to supporting people in living a soul-directed life every day. Let Nancy help you overcome fear, worry, and doubt. Visit everydayspirituality.com to learn how Nancy can be your Soul Purpose Advocate.
Living Kabbalah. Experience the fruits of the Tree of Life. In this 10-month ascension program, Kabbalah unlocks the potential of your own divine nature to know and accomplish your unique purpose in life. Get ready for real and lasting change.
Enroll now for this 10-month ascension program starting January 30th through 31st. Visit 10thhouse.org. That's 10thhouse.org today to learn more.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving. Even in the face of adversity, say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
1230 WBLQ.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, here with Paul Armentano, the Deputy Director of NORML, to close out the show. And, you know, we still have so much we want to talk about, and we're going to do our best to fit it all in. Before the break, I kind of mentioned how it's amazing that cannabis can actually replace some of the more harmful substances like opioids. And there is amazing research out there showing that opioid addiction and abuse is down in medical cannabis states. And opioid addiction is so harmful and destructive. And I know if you've been on Facebook or social media today, there are videos going around of babies born to opioid addicted parents, and these babies have the shakes, and it's so troubling and tragic to watch. And so to think that there's something like cannabis out there that can actually replace people's opioid use, that could have a huge benefit for public health, for society, for everything. Right, Paul?
Well, when we talk about symptomatic relief from cannabinoids, where we have the greatest body of clinical literature is in the treatment of chronic pain, and particularly the treatment of neuropathic pain, which there really exists a current need for, because opioids fairly poorly treat neuropathy. But yes, to your point, there's some very interesting data that's come out over the last couple of years. One data set was published last year in no less than the Journal of the American Medical Association, showing a 25% decline in opioid-related mortality in states where patients have access to medical cannabis versus states where patients don't have access to medical cannabis. Then This year, there was a separate data set from research published by the RAND Corporation that found far lower levels of opioid-related abuse in states where patients had access to medical cannabis via dispensaries as opposed to states where they did not. So we clearly see that patients, when they have the option to do so, are either using cannabinoids adjunctively to reduce or mitigate their dosage of opioids, or in some cases, they are using cannabinoids to replace opioids altogether. And we're seeing a tremendous net gain in not only patients' ability to manage pain, but a societal gain that is the result of less opioid abuse and mortality. That's really a tremendous finding, and it really needs to be emphasized in the public narrative that's going on right now about the use of cannabis for therapeutic purposes.
Absolutely, because we focus so much on chronic disease, right, on cancer, which are incredibly important. We focus on cancer, or we focus on like ALS, or but actually this is something that has changed, you know, since the medicalization of marijuana happened. There used to be this very restrictive list that you can get a medical marijuana prescription if you have one of these diseases. And now we're recognizing that chronic pain is enough, and chronic pain is something that really will also destroy your life and can be very difficult to cope with and to treat, and that this is something that can help with that as well.
Yes, absolutely. And unfortunately, this discussion so often is wrapped up in politics and is not an evidence-based discussion, that one of the most frustrating things for me to see, as someone familiar with the literature, but also who works in public advocacy and public policy, is to see lawmakers in some of these later states to address this issue actually lobby to keep chronic pain and pain management off of the list of qualifying conditions, because they fear by adding it, it will actually expand the patient pool to sizes that they don't feel are manageable, which of course is entirely inconsistent with any evidence-based policy in this regard.
Mm-hmm. And so do you think that there will come a time when we will have evidence-based policy and we will have more access for medical patients, and or maybe just full legalization for recreational purposes in America?
I think that ultimately, in order for society to appropriately embrace and even exploit the therapeutic utility and potential of cannabis, it really needs to be in an environment where the plant is itself legal, as opposed to an environment where we're only carving out a niche and saying that there's some cohorts of people with very specific health problems, and they ought to have access to cannabis, but people that are sufficiently healthy enough, they should not have access to medical cannabis. I don't believe in that environment we will fully be able to understand and come to terms with the therapeutic potential and utility of the plant.
It seems very counterintuitive to do it that way. One other question that I had is, we were talking during the break about some of the most exciting new discoveries and really the cutting edge of research. And I wanted just to give you the opportunity to bring that up in case people haven't heard about this yet.
Sure. Some of the most fascinating studies that I've seen in recent months and in recent years have to do with the association between cannabis use and healthier blood sugar levels, lower BMI, less incidences of what we think of as metabolic syndrome, and less prevalence of diabetes. Now, all of these factors are related, but now we see several observational case control trials, in some cases of very large populations, where there is a clear association between subjects having a history of cannabis use and having thinner waistlines, lower blood sugars, lower BMI, less risk of heart disease, and less risk of diabetes. And that is a very interesting realm of research that is just now starting to be explored.
And that completely shatters the stereotype of, like, the stoner who's eating all the munchies and getting fat. And, you know, it definitely makes you think that's just a complete fallacy.
Yes, well, so unfortunately, so much of the longstanding public discourse about marijuana has been based on fallacies. But fortunately, I think we're at a point in society where we're finally moving beyond that.
Yes,
and the public, of course, by and large, has already moved beyond it. Unfortunately, many of our political leaders do lag behind.
Yep, that's just how it goes. So we only have a couple minutes left in the show. I would love to have you back next year in the spring or summer. And I guess my question for you is kind of, where is the future going? And also, how can people get involved in pushing this forward with Normal and also in their own lives?
Well, most certainly, if people want to get involved in their own liberation, because that's really what this is about,
yes,
I would encourage them to become involved with Normal. Again, they can go to the Normal website at normal.org. They can become a donating member of Normal. That's how we continue to exist. That's how we continue to survive. And certainly, they can use Normal as an educational tool. And I encourage people to do that when they engage in their own discussions about this subject, not only with their friends and their family, but hopefully with their elected politicians, their physicians, the public policymakers and pundits of society. And again, that doesn't cost you a dime. It just costs you your time to learn, to become educated, and to advocate for evidence-based, common-sense marijuana law reform. That's what Normal does, but we depend on everyone else doing so as well. This plant isn't going to legalize itself. It needs all of your help.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Paul Armentano, for coming on the show today and sharing such really inspiring and expansive information and knowledge and being so eloquent in your discussion of cannabis. That's really refreshing and great. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly today. I had an amazing time, and I hope that you join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on KKNW 1150 Seattle and WPLQ 1230 broadcasting from Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. You can also find me at thelucidplanet.com and connect with me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. And you can find all of the show archives on SoundCloud, also at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. So have a great night, and I will see you next week. Take care. Lots of love. Bye.
Lucid Planet Radio with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships.
This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.